Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
rapid periodic table and a few clues. I've been having a bit of difficulties in the lab nights, and I've remembered LC, PNP, samarium, europium, get my three there, and then gadolinium, terbium, and then dysprosium and hetium to get through. So let's see how we go. Hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium, magnesium, aluminium, silicon, sulfur, silicon, phosphorus, sulfur, chlorine, argon, potassium, calcium. Switching this back anyway. I don't want to do a periodic table and run poor little cyclist over. Okay. Scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, zinc, gallium, germanium, arsenic, selenium, bromine, krypton, rubidium, strontium, yttrium, zirconium, niobium, molybdenum, technetium, ruthenium, rhodium, palladium, silver, cadmium. Mate, you've got right away, mate. Oh, sorry, I don't want to run over a pedestrian. So we're at cadmium, indium, tin, antimony, tellurium, iodine, xenon, cesium, barium, lanthanum, cerium, promethium, neodymium, praseodymium. Okay. Samarium, europium, gallium, terbium, dysprosium, holmium, erbium, tellurium, yttrium, lawrencium. No, lutetium. Oh God, how did I get that wrong? Lutetium, hafnium, tantalum. Tungsten, tantalum, rhenium. I think it's tantalum's after. I've got to remember that's a real shit to get through. Osmium, iridium, platinum, gold, mercury, thulium, thallium. That's that whole horrible thing. Lead, bismuth, polonium, astinium, radon, francium, radium, francium. Oh yeah, radium. Okay. Actinium, thorium, protinium, uranium, yttrium, plutonium, americium, curium, Berkeley, californium, einsteinium, fermium, mendelivium, nobelium, lawrencium, rutherfordium, dubnium, zeeborgium, borium, metrium, hasnium, dramstrachium, rockgonium, copernican, fluvium, nipponium, moscovium, livimorium, tenisium, and organosium. Now, I've got a really, there's a few things that I think I've got them all down pat. I've just a few that I've got a bit out of order. So the little tricks here coming along are for lanthanum, cerium, L, C, P, and P, then samarium is so unusual. Samarium, europium, europium's unusual, again, gadolinium's unusual. Terbium's got a bit of a story to it. Then it's dysprosium, and then hetty gets you through, holmium, erbium, thulium, yttrium. But then some of the ones I'm a bit unsure of is there's two German scientists in the middle of the last row, and then the ordering of those last five in the final P block. I remember the very last one, last couple, the last tennesseum, which is easy, and organosin, because it's an on, because it's like a noble gas. And then you go through. Now I'm just going through. The interesting thing is, the thing to watch in the most dramatic thing in the periodic table, I think, is electron negativity or electron affinity. It's electron affinity, which is the most interesting one to watch. It's the most quantum mechanical sensitive one. And it gives you a real feeling for what the groups are, so the blocks, because as far as the electron affinities is concerned, each block's a land in itself, where the electrophinity disappears to zero at the end of each block and dips in the middle of each block. It's sort of like a really curious thing to go. I'm freezing my ass off here. This is supposed to be a super hot day in Australia. Now, turn it down. Check the outside temperature is, 24 degrees. Now, 24 degrees is now freezing. If you've now lived in Australia, now I've got to get to my medical appointment by 5:30, and it looks so I'll be able to do that comfortably. Not getting crashed. Electron affinity is the quantum mechanical genie in a bottle aspect of atoms, and you can see that the electron affinity of, say, magnesium, and which is at the end of the S block, or zinc, copper, zinc, cadmium, mercury, which is the end of the D block, or obviously, noble gases have got no electron affinity to speak of. Here we go, rushing past the small go road. It also dips in the middle. So if your block is big enough, there's no middle of the S block, but in the middle, electron affinity is really low for nitrogen, which is really interesting, because then it means that nitrogen is this thing that when it binds, it doesn't want extra electrons, but when it binds, it's really curious. And so it's a nitrogen bond. It's certain things, if you want to build a bridge, yes. If I want to build something really strong, like diamond or something good, I want my electron affinity one way or the other. I want good electron affinity. But your bad electron affinity has a lot of really good uses. So, if you've got, say, mercury, a liquid, low electron affinity, nitrogen, poor bonds, but doesn't bond with many things, and it's got a heap of energy in it. So, your nitroglycerin, nitrates, the bonding is because it much prefers not to take on an extra electron, whereas oxygen has got a huge electron affinity right next to it. So the two go very much together in terms of the entire aspect of it. Something which is explosive is that it is stable, but with a lot of energy. You've added a lot of energy to it. So an explosive is a pretty amazing thing. It's got to be stable, yet unstable. You can't build something explosive, like, say, if you have a block of a diamond is just not going to explode because it's so stable. You want it to have a state which you can easily go to. So this is why your nitrogens are so important for life, and they are so difficult to unlock. And the most magical thing is the unlocking of nitrogen, the fixing of nitrogen, that's what we call. This is creating little explosives of life. Nitrogen, basically building explosives, is what the bacteria, bacteria do in the soil, and they have this molecule, which is, well, it is a molecule. Is it a molecule? It's a molecule under the circumstances that we would describe a molecule, atoms bound together, but really it doesn't have a centrally bound atom. It's got a caged atom, a single caged carbon, and this is FeMoCO. A iron sulfur nanocrystal with a captive carbon inside it, and topped with molybdenum. Sort of how periodic do you get? How weird and wonderful do you get? And so this is sort of like the super invention, which allows life on Earth. This is FeMoCO, and it's amazing that, say, if you sent plants to another planet, that they would just go, "Well, feed me, you know, I just need fertilizer." But here's this molecule called a quantum fertilizer, which is this fixing aspect of it, and it's really interesting in terms of you've got the quantum mechanics of a periodic crystal of sulfur and iron. So iron's in the environment, and they get, which is really important. But you've got those two together, and then a molybdenum, MO. What the heck is that? Is molybdenum is really interesting because it's got low electron affinity. It's a metal with low electron affinity, and of course, I think at the bottom of the FeMoCO is some sort of, as you like it, amino acid stuck at the end of the FeMoCO. And this is the critical crystal which actually starts life, now, which is really interesting in terms of everyone says, right. Thanks, science is so boring, especially the way it's taught. And I think what I'm discovering from listening to my daughter's class is that science has been held hostage to unruly kids. They've got 90% behavior problems, and if you get some science through, just lucky if you can. Come on, mate. What are you doing? I'm just going to wait here till you do it, mate. So there's a person turning right in front of me, and I have to negotiate left-turning people. Okay. Oh. Whereas science has got some riddles and mysteries in life, like this. If I can say, if I was some sort of religious freak scientist, I would build a church to FeMoCO. I would have FeMoCO jewelry. I would even wear earrings if they had so much thing as a FeMoCO tat. I'd have two tats. I'd have a tat on one fist, on the knuckles. I'd have the Schrodinger wave equation written about. You know how people have written on their knuckles hate. I'd have, instead of hate, I'd have my Schrodinger wave equation. And then on my neck, which is the most, frightening thing. So imagine someone, some sort of bikey with a neck process, imagine that with a bikey with a neck thing on your neck. But if I was going to my neck, I'd get a FeMoCO molecule. Is that, and so what's really necessary is that if you don't learn the periodic table, then when you see patterns in it, it's sort of like someone's interior decorating a house and you've got no memory of the rooms or what's in there, everything, and you look at it and you say, oh, that vase on a pot, that's nice looking. Oh yeah, that fish tank's looking, and you don't see the whole, oh, there's a fish tank in every room. It's all too big. It's sort of like a vast, it's trying to, it really is like this vast market, a chemistry market. It's this sort of iconic chemistry market which you get to. Now, of course, it's now past the anniversary of the periodic table, and it's shown me really that the periodic table is a two-edged sword. So when I mentioned the periodic table at a science conference and was able to recite it, they thought, weird, you're stuffed. Let's see, what the heck? Derby Street closed 3rd of February. Okay, it's not 3rd of February. Okay, well, good luck. I'm going now to do my medical test, and I'll tell you later about it all afterwards.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.